This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on, not only with BRAC, because we've talked about it a lot on the Fed Access, but we're going to be talking about the transition from BRAC and also a number of other things that's happened on the federal government. The federal government's going through a lot of processes right now. Some budget cuts. There seems to be some possibly reduction in force. The military is going to be cutting back. Agencies are right-sizing. So there's a lot going on in terms of transition. We'll be talking about transition issues and how do you deal with that? If you're a federal employee, if you're a military person, if you're a veteran, how do you transition and get into a job that you can start benefiting from? Maybe find a job within another federal agency that you hadn't thought about. I have with me Sandy Smith. She is, Sandy, you're the director of the BRAC Transition Center, right?
That's correct. I'm in charge of all the workforce services that we do in the center.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on Fed Access, Sandy. Sure. And I have Sam Phipps. He is a deputy BRAC coordinator, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. He's a deputy BRAC coordinator, also from Arlington, Virginia. They've been working on BRAC issues since 2005.
4 years.
For 4 years now.
Yep.
They're subject matter experts now at this point on how to deal with this. We're going to be talking about this, and also we're going to talk about some lessons learned from this whole process. I mean, you know, your center, Sandy, was, you know, one of the kind of the lead agencies in terms of dealing with this transition and how to cope with certain things. And so we want to talk about these lessons learned. But first, I want to kind of make this announcement. And you guys have some employer hiring forums going on that's going to be starting what? Or I know you already had a couple.
That's correct.
I know, Sam, you got some stuff coming up that's going to be happening in December. Tell us about these.
That's right. It's a new project that we're trying. Traditionally, we've done the BRAC career fairs. People have pretty much heard of us via that mechanism. It's been a successful venture that we've used. And now we want to kind of go in and target our employers to better match what our employees are looking for. And so we've decided to come out with a new product, which is the hiring forums, whereby we go out and have a single employer come. And in this case, we used to have it at the center. Now we've moved it over to the Crystal City Gateway Marriott.
Okay.
And we host these meetings where the employer can sit down and tell our clients about what's going on in their agency, about what they're looking for in their agency, what types of positions that they usually hire for. And it's a good chance for the employees, actually, or prospects to actually ask questions directly to the employer, directly to a contact, a name, and have the advantage of finding out exactly what they're looking for and seeing what they're interested in.
Right. With that right there, I mean, are we looking at a situation where you are going to be in maybe a small room? I mean, how many people are we talking about who you want to have participants? And let's think about this. Who is it? Who's it open to? Is it just BRAC people? Is it open to more of the public? Who's eligible to attend these employer forums?
Well, capacity-wise, we'd like to have it as a small group. We're pushing this as a chance for the clients to have a chance to talk to the employers. So we don't want to go above, say, 30 people is the capacity for the room. And as a result of that, the employers, like I said, will give information about what they're looking for. And then follow up with a one-on-one sessions where people can go over ideas about what's on my resume. Does this resume look good? Does it not look good? What do I need to add to be competitive and be in the top of the list as far as when people review it? that they look at this and say, this person is a competitive hire.
Okay. Sandy, with what's going on, and I'm looking at this employer forms right now, you got USDA, which is FNS, the Food and Nutrition Service, and you also have the Federal Housing Financing Agency, who's going to be coming. I think these are going to be happening, from what I'm seeing, December 1, December 15th, and also December 14th for USDA, December 1st and December 15th, and the Federal Housing Finance Agency is going to be happening on December 14th. With, you know, what you've seen in terms of employers, and you've dealt with a lot of DOD employers.
Right.
You know, these are agencies that are usually outside, that are outside of DOD. I mean, you know, are we talking about kind of shifting people's mindsets in terms of thinking about other agencies rather than just being Department of Defense?
Exactly. Exactly. It's so competitive out there now. We know that the federal job is still seen as kind of the gold standard of security. So a lot of different people from various sectors are trying to get federal jobs. We also know that approaching 500,000 federal workers are eligible for retirement now. So even with the budget cuts and some of the other uncertainties that we have now, we also know that the federal government is going to continue to hire. It is going to need to continue to fill critically needed positions. But
so people shouldn't be so scared.
Right, exactly. We encourage our clients to really broaden their perspectives in terms of you have a skill set, you have experience. All of our clients have clearances. There's a lot of employers across the federal sector that might be interested in talking to you. And as we've learned from our past three very successful career fairs, the BRAC impacted DOD civilian and contract employees are a wonderful applicant pool for other federal agencies. So the word is spread amongst HR representatives, and we continually get calls from federal agencies. When are you having another career fair? Because that's a great talent pool for us to tap into.
With what's going on right now, and kind of thinking about what you just said, a number of people are retiring. That there's still going to be some federal, even though we had this budget crisis, so to say, that everyone's talking about, there still will be a number of federal agencies who are hiring. I'm looking at here right now, you know, we've got positions like program analysts, investigators, budget analysts, computer specialists. That's for USDA. And that's just this. And I guess for people to know, this is just one section in USDA, right, Sam?
That's correct. There's several, you know, USDA is a huge employer, you know, and this is just one sub-agency within USDA. And what they wanted to do is say, hey, these are our typical hire positions. And so they'll come out and say, hey, you know, normally we like to hire computer specialists, program analysts, investigators, but FSA is another section of USDA, Farm Service Agency. You have Foreign Agricultural Service. You have Economic Research Service. Right. All of those within USDA.
And they all do separate hiring.
Exactly. Right. But this, you know, gives you a step in to say, hey, if you don't like anything in FNS, at least if you attend this, you'll have a contact person in FNS who can say, hey, I can pass your resume on to the person I know over at FSA and this is somebody who's in the agency who's advocating for you with resume in hand.
Rather than you hitting that black hole.
Exactly. You having to go in and cold call and prospect yourself and try to get that, you know, in by your own, on your own, I should say. You know, this, we hope, is one step.
You know, with that and going through a whole process, because, I mean, these are some good positions, whether it be contract, personnel specialist, information specialist, and then Federal Housing Financing Agency is hiring financial analysts, economists, examiners, accountants, and other people like that. With your program, I don't think we answered it, who can come? Now, we're going to keep it at maybe about 30 people, but who is eligible to come to this?
Well, we know from the last 4 years' experience that with the model that we've developed with the national, federal, employment experts that we partnered with, we have a great resource to offer individuals that are looking for federal jobs because it is a complicated, labor-intensive application process. A lot of people get turned off, as you said, by thinking that their applications just kind of go in this big void. They never hear back. But we know that with, you know, teaching some specific strategies and tips, talking to people about targeted networking, that they can make very effective inroads into other agencies outside of the usual area that they're thinking about. And we're also looking at the future in terms of what we can offer with the lessons that we've learned and the resources and expertise we've developed. So we're kind of opening up our seats in this particular service that we provide. Our policy has always been, our first target and goal is BRAC impacted DOD civilian and contract employees and their spouses and dependents. However, if we have a vacant seat, we welcome other unemployed, underemployed individuals that are seeking jobs to think about coming in as well.
So more of kind of first come, first serve scenario. Mm-hmm. But we're thinking maybe BRAC impacted, of course, mm-hmm. they get the priority seat. Then maybe it's a veteran mm-hmm. or something exactly. like that, then they get a seat. But then if you have some open spaces mm-hmm. and someone calls and mm-hmm. says, hey, listen, looking, or mm-hmm. I'm a federal employee who's mm-hmm. looking to make a transition, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I'm in the private sector, or I'm unemployed. Do you have a seat open? They could very well get a seat at the table. Is that right?
Exactly.
That's correct.
Yep. And we know that mm-hmm. with the coming increasing budget cuts, we're anticipating increases in numbers of involuntarily separated active duty service members, also other civilian employees. So we know that we have a model that can really serve a wide variety of people in need out there, and we want to be able to continue to do that. So we're looking at probably transitioning mm-hmm. as this round of BRAC winds down, but we're there's also a lot of activities still remaining to do with the current round of BRAC impacted employees, because we know that not all agencies have transferred everybody to their new locations. Some people have gone to the new office location, but you know it now is a 4-hour commute. That's not really going to work for them and their families, so they're kind of rethinking their long-term sure. career plans, and we want to be there for all these different individuals.
I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back after the break, and I want to talk about also where can people find the employer hiring forum, where can they call you to see if they can get a seat at the table mm-hmm. to meet with these employers mm-hmm. in December and for future programs coming up in 2012. We're talking about federal transition. We're talking about BRAC transition. We're talking about kind of workforce issues today, what's happening, and we're talking about some good programs that where you can get in and meet with some federal employers and sit down at the table and be maybe one of 30 people where you can talk to somebody individually, give them your resume, and then possibly move forward in the hiring process. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Sandy Smith. She's from the BRAC Transition Center. And we're talking to Sam Phipps. He's the deputy project coordinator at the BRAC Transition, and Sandy's the director. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Previously on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, there was a special panel conversation about the F-35 program, discussing the cost of the program. Tom Burbidge, Executive VP and GM of F-35 program integration.
When you talk about cost on a major complex weapon system like this, you tend to talk about the acquisition, the price. In reality, that's only a small part of the overall lifecycle cost of the airplane. We have the development program, which is probably the most comprehensive and complex in the history of development, with a highly common family of three airplanes going through a very long and intensive test program. We have the production facilities that we've now put in place around the world to support high-rate manufacturing and, again, capturing those economies of scale. And then you have the all-important cost of ownership and cost of operations throughout the life cycle. I would offer there's even a fourth element, and that's what we currently do on a regular basis, day in and day out, our long-term peacekeeping or combat operations with all three U.S. services and our allies.
To listen to the whole program, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword F-35.
This week's Experts in Health topic is Holiday Weight Maintenance, featuring Dr. Douglas Van Zoren, Service Chief of Adult Medicine with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group at Kaiser Permanente's Capitol Hill Medical Center.
The National Institutes of Health estimate that most Americans gain an average of 1 pound during the holiday season. One extra pound doesn't sound like much, but consider that one extra pound accumulates over time and can contribute to weight challenges and chronic diseases down the road. This holiday season, maintain, don't gain. Don't skip meals. Eating smaller meals throughout the day prevents overeating later. Eat before holiday parties. Water works. It helps you feel full and helps you eat less. Get physically active. Regular exercise is the best way to stay on track and not gain during the holidays. This season, let's give ourselves the gift of good health. That's a gift that keeps giving. Be happy, healthy, and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's Experts in Health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Here's Chase Garwood, Chief Technology Officer, DHS U.S. Visit, on the Federal Executive Forum on Trusted Identities and Identity Management, sponsored by Deloitte.
I'm a big fan of mobility. I think mobility is going to be key, and I think biometrics built into that mobility. We're seeing commercial products coming out right now with voice and facial on smartphones, so that when you make that easy to use, when it's not an extra dongle or sled or other things, I think that's going to help provide capability and innovation.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Tresemme Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Looking for tips to re-energize your agency's IT approach? Deloitte's top 10 technology trends share lessons from the front line, from real analytics to capability clouds to cybersecurity. Challenge conventional thinking and discover new pathways to efficiency, performance, and innovation. To download the report, visit Deloitte.com/federal. That's Deloitte.com/federal. Deloitte, helping government help America.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. If you just joined us, we've been talking about transition issues, about first the BRAC transition, and also about now kind of federal transition. There's a lot of agencies who are going through a lot of processes. I mean, there's a lot of right-sizing. There's budget cuts. There's talk about reduction in force. And it seems to be doom and gloom, but it seems to be some sunlight out there where people can find some hope, because there are agencies out there who are looking to hire some people. There are some employer forums coming up that's being run by the BRAC Transition Center, and I have two people from the BRAC Transition Center right in studio with me. Sandy Smith, she's the director of the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington, and then Sam Phipps, he is the deputy project coordinator at the BRAC Transition as well. You know, these employer hiring forums starting in December, where people can come out and meet with employers, a small group. Where can they find, first, the information to sign up for this? Mm-hmm. And then also, I know you mentioned it's going to be in a hotel, Sam. Where is it going to be that, you know, I mean, and I don't want people showing up just, you know, and they didn't sign up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when they do sign up, where will it be held? In what location? Is it going to be pretty accessible for people?
Will be accessible, but first, they have to register.
Okay.
First and foremost. We ask that everybody go to our website, www.bracarlington.com. va.us, and when there you go to the calendar of events, which is located on the bottom left hand side of the homepage, and click on that, and it'll take you to our calendar, and on the calendar you can click on the appropriate event and register there.
Okay, so it's a quick process.
Quick process, takes no more than 5 minutes.
In case, mm-hmm. phone number, who should they call? Just in case, you know, they have a problem. Some people get a problem on the internet some days.
Sure,
a lot
sure.
of people also can't. Their computer system firewall will kick them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they have any problem, their agency firewall won't let them register, or they have any questions at all, they can call us at 703-418-1130, and anybody that answers the phone will be able to help you.
So 703-418-1130, and the website is BRACArlingtonVA.us. You can either call and get registered, or you can go online and get registered. You'll walk them through the registration process mm-hmm. if they call and they can't get through. You mentioned, Sam, a lot of federal agencies sometimes will block people from going to certain places. Unfortunately, you know, they'll block people from going and looking at another job. But they can definitely call if they can't get through.
That's correct. You know, the firewalls are up there to protect them from outside usage on the internet. So their internal policies say, you know, if employees can't use the internet for certain reasons, and so, you know, if they run into a situation where they can't get into our website, then certainly they can give us a call up.
You've had a couple employer forums before, and I know you had a couple different either companies or agencies mm-hmm. come on out and talk to people. Who did you have come before who was interested in hiring, and how did those go? I mean, what was the feedback mm-hmm. from both the participants and the mm-hmm. employers on how things went?
We have a couple. We had Department of Treasury's Office of the Comptroller of the Currency has come out. We've had private sector firms. We have the Navy Federal Credit Union and Pixel So different types of companies looking for different interests. And overall, the employers value our clientele. They were very happy to answer my call and very happy to attend. And so that continues. They want to come back and they want to meet with our clientele. And so overall, they like what they're seeing. Okay. You know, they like the model that we have and appreciate the model that we have. And so we're attempting to, it's a pilot program that we've been slowly releasing because we've only had three so far. And so
sure.
until 2012, then we'll come out with the full-blown thing. But for right now, we were just testing out the models to see what works and what doesn't work. And so far
we've had, it's working.
Exactly. You know, people are taking it, getting information. Employers have been there long as people wanted to stay there and talk to these individuals and give them input on their resumes and give them input on what they can be doing to obtain a job.
Sandy, your recommendation in terms of, and you've dealt with people critiquing resumes, getting them prepared for interviews, getting them prepared to meet in, you know, with employers. What would be your recommendation if you're going to be coming to the employer hiring forum and you get that seat at the table and you've got this opportunity to meet with somebody one-on-one in a small group atmosphere? What would be your recommendations for one, to prepare, and then two, to really sell yourself that you can make this and turn this into a possible job?
Well, my very first recommendation would be to research the employers that are going to be participating in the forum and learn as much about their needs as possible. Because when you're a job seeker, it's really about the employer's needs. It's about you doing your research, understanding the skills, the education, experience requirements, credential requirements, clearance requirements, everything that the employer needs, and then looking at you at what you bring to the table. And when I say that, I mean that your whole package, it's your skills, your experience, your education, your credentials, and most importantly, your accomplishments. You know, one thing that we see a lot is people send in resumes that just basically list the duties that they've done in a job and for how long.
Like almost a cut and paste job description.
Exactly. And then they blast those out to hundreds of employers and don't get interviews and get very discouraged. Well, I always tell my clients, put yourself in the perspective of the audience. You know, those HR screeners, those hiring officials that in this kind of job market are getting hundreds and hundreds of resumes that a lot of them look alike. And, you know, it makes them very frustrated, the HR screeners, the hiring officials, because, you know, they're looking at hundreds of resumes and on paper, everybody looks equally qualified. So how do I make a determination of who's among the most highly qualified? You have to put key accomplishment information. And that's really where you tell a story about how you went above and beyond in your day-to-day duties and made specific contributions, either came up with a better way of doing something that improved workflow processes or saved time or money, improved morale, whatever it was. And also the story should end with a quantifiable outcome if possible, because that has a much bigger impact on the reader. So you need to be able to consistently and crisply kind of talk about your whole package, what you bring to the table. So by practicing working on those accomplishment stories on your resume, that's going to get you really in a good place for going and interacting face-to-face with an employer. You're going to be able to talk very, very freely about the accomplishments, what you brought to a past employer, because what the logic model the employer, the potential employer, is using is if you brought that kind of innovation and problem-solving ability to your past job, they know that on the job you're applying to with them, you're going to face some of the same challenges. Therefore, we're going to assume you're going to bring that with you to this job. Therefore, I feel confident ranking you among the most highly qualified and selecting you for an interview.
And let me even stop you right there. I think that's some great advice. And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know what? I've had this job for how many ever years, and I don't know what success stories that I have. I mean, they, you know, a lot of times people seem to have a problem talking about themselves and really describing what a success story is or an accomplishment because they just kind of feel like their job is just a day-to-day. This is what I do.
Right.
They don't know how to talk about it. I mean, how do you get somebody to kind of change, you know, and both, how do you get somebody to change out of that mold and then really be able to talk and sell themselves?
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges that we faced at the BRAC Center. And I'd have to say that's one of our big lessons learned. It can be very challenging for a Department of Defense worker to talk about his or her accomplishments. You know, I'll be working with a client as an example, and I'll talk about the importance of accomplishments and documenting those, and we got to embed those in your resume. And they'll go, ma'am, I was just doing my job,
right.
Which is a very frustrating thing to hear because I'll flip to the back of that 10-page resume and see a page of awards.
Right.
But nobody, the reader doesn't have any idea what those awards are attached to. You got to tell the story.
Right.
So that's when I tell the person, well, on some days, I know you are doing more than just your job. But nobody, you know, nobody documents that. Nobody keeps track of that. And in the defense world, you know, it's, you really don't, you know, self-promotion is not encouraged. So it's really...
A lot of people are just very humble.
Very humble, very humble. They're very dedicated. You know, it's about the mission. It's about supporting the mission. It's not about, you know, drawing attention to myself. Yet the irony of that is, as a job seeker, that is the number one skill that you need to be able to develop and feel comfortable with. Because if you can't get that accomplishment information out really quickly, you know, you're going to be at a disadvantage in the job.
Hold that thought right there. We're going to talk about some more tips, because if you get a chance to get the seat at the employer forum, you know, these upcoming forums that are coming up, then we want to make sure that people are prepared.
Exactly.
Not only for now, but for things going into 2012. We're talking about these employer hiring forums that are going to be happening at the BRAC Transition Center starting in December and also going into 2012, where it's going to be open for the public. I mean, first come, first serve. If you're BRAC impacted or veteran or whoever, you may get preference. But if it's, you know, if you're out there looking for a job, then go ahead and give them a call and you may get a seat at the table. We're talking to Sandy Smith. She's the director of the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington, Virginia. And we're talking to Sam Phipps. He's the deputy BRAC coordinator for the BRAC Transition. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why United Healthcare Vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend the plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees is from November 14th through December 12th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare Vision this open season.
Traveling on government business is no vacation, especially when it comes to finding the right accommodation at the right price. That's why GSA developed FedRooms, the government's official lodging program. With a global selection of top-quality properties and powerful online travel tools, FedRooms stands alone as the smartest way to book great rooms while saving money and complying with travel regulations. Whether you're a federal civilian employee or member of the military, FedRooms makes it easy to book and pay for rooms at the best possible rate, at or below per diem, with no hidden fees. Best of all, you can find FedRooms rates in all government travel online booking tools. Always select the FedRooms rate. FedRooms helps you to stay focused on your agency's mission. To find out more about FedRooms, visit FedRooms.gov. That's FedRooms.gov. FedRooms, where you can rest assured you got the best rate.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour's Conversation with Author series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. Join host Michael Keegan and authors Dr. David Wild on cloud computing and government, Dr. Vicki Grant on process improvement in social service delivery, and Professor Sukumar Ganapati on the use of geographical information systems in engaging citizens. Next week on the Business of Government Hour.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about employer hiring forms that's going to be starting at the BRAC Transition Center starting in December and going on to 2012, where they're going to be bringing in employers to talk to people about hiring at their agency. We've got the USDA, FNS. They're going to be coming out in December. We also have the Federal Housing Financing Agency, who's going to be coming out to the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington, Virginia, and talking to people. If you're looking for a federal job, if you're a federal worker looking to transition, if you're out there unemployed looking to get into the federal government, or if you're in the private sector looking to get in, this may be a place that you want to go and talk to some people about getting hired within these agencies. We're talking to Sandy Smith. She's the director. Look at me. I'm talking about project. You're the project, Sam.
We switched
the seats, right? Talking to Sandy Smith. She's the director of the BRAC Transition Center. And then we're talking to Sam Phipps. He is the project. Is always get it right. Is a project coordinator or deputy project coordinator, for the BRAC Transition Center as well. You know, we were talking about tips to get people prepared, because to me, this may be kind of one of those once in a lifetime opportunities where, you know, this is not a career fair, you know, and we've all looked at career fairs where you're in a line waiting for somebody to talk to. This is different. Mm-hmm. This is an intimate setting where you're, you know, sitting in front of somebody, possibly getting them to give you the spiel and then get some one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. So this is much better than a career fair scenario. You know, when we talk about people being prepared, we mentioned success stories. Mm-hmm. What other tips, and kicking off with you, Sam, and mm-hmm. then moving back to Sandy, what other tips should people have coming in? I don't care whether it's dress, whether mm-hmm. it's the mindset, whether it's how they present themselves. What should a person mm-hmm. be ready to do?
What should they not be ready to
okay.
do?
Okay.
Let's start with those, some of the don'ts.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people talk about the do's, but we've found some don'ts in these first few that we've done.
Okay.
Don't be late, please.
Sure.
That's one.
That's one.
Employers love to talk to people. They love to give out information, love to meet you. They don't want to do it several times over and over and repeating themselves. So if you come in late after the employer has given the information, the employer kind of looks at that as saying, hey, if I got a person who didn't want to come in on time for my presentation, is that the type of employee that I'll have?
Sure. And in a small setting, you're going to stand out. I mean,
exactly.
You can't just sneak into the room,
you can't
right?
tiptoe into yeah, right. the back. You know, it's like, oh, no, you.
Right.
I see you coming in late.
And I'm seeing the programs are starting at 1 o'clock p.m., mm-hmm. and then some are starting at 9 a.m. So these hours are just typically work hours that, you know, that people can come. So you can definitely have to plan ahead to be there on time.
Exactly. You can come. Now, we have a 3-hour window there, but certainly it doesn't last the whole 3 hours. But we do ask you to come on time. And so, if when need be, when you need to leave, you can leave whenever you need to leave.
Sure.
So, that's no problem. But we do have that 3-hour window open for these presentations. We don't know how long the one on ones will go.
Right.
But, you know, this gives you the advantage. You know, we wanted this time so that, you know, you as the employer can come up and shine. You know, this is not only is your resume your selling document, but you are your selling document. So if you can come and give a piece of paper and then also put the personality behind that, then chances are when that person has that position that's ready to open up, if they don't have that position open at that particular point in time, but say in the future that position comes open, that person says, oh, I'm looking for people for this. Oh, I met this person at this BRAC career event.
Sure.
Oh, this is perfect. I see this name. I know this name. Oh, I remember that name.
Sure.
You know, so that helps out to have the personality behind the piece of paper.
And what, what other don'ts have you found? You got to be on time for sure. I mean, so don't be late. What other don'ts have you found from these other things?
As Sandy says, be prepared. You know, don't come in asking questions that you can readily find on the internet or other sources. Mm-hmm. You know, take a little time, do your homework, and ask.
Do you find a lot of people do that? That a lot of people are just, even on a day in which you can find so much information on the internet, do you still find that people just walk in and they haven't taken time to do the research?
Yeah, I think it, for some people, they just it's a mindset that, you know, you create a standard resume and then you just blast it out. And that's the marketing document you use to continually promote yourself. And I guess the thinking is, well, if I send hundreds and hundreds of these out, eventually I'll get one hit somewhere. Which in this kind of competitive marketplace is not a good strategy. You know, you're wasting your time, you're wasting the employer's time, because literally when you're doing that, your resume goes into a stack of hundreds of other resumes that look very similar. So really, you got to be strategic. You got to think about I got a lot of competition, but I bring a lot to the table. So how do I shine? How do I market myself? How do I let that employer know I've done the research. I know what your agency, your department's looking for. I Googled it. I checked any possible source that I could to find out information. I want to know what's keeping that hiring official up at night. What's his or her hot buttons? And I want to be real clear and concise that I can address those needs. So, you know, I want to customize.
If it's a housing agency, then you should know about what's going on in the housing market. If it's a food and nutrition service, you should be talking about their critical issues and saying, hey, listen, from my background, I was able to work on A, B, C, and D that may be relevant to what you guys do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the employers have shared with us specific information about specific positions that they're hiring for now or projected in the future.
Okay.
And possibly that could be some, you know, retirement projections. As I mentioned, there's 500,000 federal workers eligible to retire. So agencies have to be looking at succession planning, at, you know, okay, if who's going to be leaving, we've got to fill these skill sets that we're going to, and how are we going to do that? And it's going to be kind of difficult with older workers leaving, taking a lot of institutional knowledge with them. So that's a big challenge for federal agencies and a lot of other employers. And one thing I just wanted to add about Department of Agriculture, they're doing an interesting thing with their pilot. They're first coming on December 1st, and that they're really going to be giving a lot of information about what they're looking for. And then they're coming back on the 15th. So the attendees at those sessions will have a chance to really listen to the Department of Agriculture, its representatives, their concerns, and then take that information home and really, you know, work on customizing your resume, do a little bit more research. So when you come back on the 15th and have a one-on-one, you're really going to have an opportunity to be ready.
Okay. And this is a brand new thing that most people are not doing. This is hardly ever seen with the federal hiring process, that you get a chance to get this kind of one-on-one time, you know, outside of getting called for an interview.
Exactly.
You know, just being able to walk in to an area. I encourage people to come. Let's just repeat the information. One of you guys just, you know, tell us again, because I want to make sure that people know where to find this stuff and who's coming.
We have the USDA Food and Nutrition Service, FNS, December 1st, 1 to 4 p.m. And then on December 15th, which also is a Thursday, that's going to be from 1 to 4 p.m. On December 14th, Wednesday, we're going to have the Federal Housing Finance Agency.
Outstanding. That's going to be 9 to 12?
9 to 12 for that one, yes.
And the positions that I'm seeing that these guys are looking for, program analysts, investigators, accountants, budget analysts, computer specialists, information specialists, personnel specialists, contract specialists, financial analysts, economists, examiners, and other accountants as well. I mean, that covers a large amount of people. You know, in terms of professions, whether it be finance or even with the program analyst, that can cover a lot of different people, because program analyst is one of those generic titles. Mm-hmm. Would you say, Sandy?
Definitely. Program manager, management analyst, those two titles can mean thousands of different things in the federal government. Sure. So you got to do your research. You know, go on the agency website, look at agency job descriptions. Figure out, okay, am I addressing all the fundamental parts of what they're looking for in these positions? So You know, you want to be prepared as much as possible to let them know you can meet their needs.
And usually would you find that a program analyst or management analyst is somebody who's maybe dealing more with the business side of it, or it could be anything? I mean, what do you find?
Could be anything. I think program managers, I find a little bit more, have more of a financial aspect to them sometimes. But really, I've seen all kinds of jobs titled those
so
two
really
things.
Just come. I mean, I come and find out what's going on.
Exactly.
And then if they, you know, they can either say, hey, no, we don't have it, or I can direct you. As you were saying, Sam, maybe our sister agency may have these kind of positions, and I can put your resume in their hands. Would you say that's correct?
Exactly. They have the options, you know. And certainly, I'm sure people know friends and other colleagues in the agencies. These are big agencies, and so they have meetings and get-togethers where they interact with each other. So I'm sure they have the option and ability to pass resumes on when need be.
Outstanding. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, you still have some other services going on, Sandy, at the BRAC Transition Center. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about lessons learned from BRAC. You know, what have we learned as we're kind of moving out of this BRAC coming from 2005? You know, what are lessons learned from both the people who are looking for jobs, but also for those who are transitioning out their employees, and then also for those who may be hiring BRAC impacted workers? I mean, what are the lessons from all around? We're talking about transition issues. We're talking about the federal transition process. We're talking about the BRAC transition process. And we're talking about this employer hiring form that's coming up that I want to make sure everybody hears about, because it's a fantastic program that the BRAC Transition Center is doing. You need to make sure you're out there. Talking to Sandy Smith. She's director of the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington, Virginia. And Sam Phipps. He's the deputy project coordinator at the BRAC Transition Center at Arlington, Virginia. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Facero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Mark Gold of The Gold Group, who advises affluent individuals and family-owned businesses on insurance needs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Previously on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, there was a special panel conversation about the F-35 program. Discussing the fundamental principles of the program is Tom Burbidge, Executive VP and GM of F-35 Program Integration.
The fundamental principles of the program, there's four of them. The first one is that the system needs to be lethal. If you do call on, you know, our successors, our children, our grandchildren, to actually have to go employ this in combat, you want it to be lethal and get the job done. Second one is you want it to be survivable. You want it to come home at the end of the fight. And probably from the military technology side, those are the two areas that are most advanced with this technology that we're talking about. The third thing is you want it to be supportable over the life cycle of the program to drive down that cost of ownership we're talking about. And the fourth one they label as affordability. I want to tack all the things that drive the cost of maintaining a military air power capability, whether it's single service, joint service, or coalition.
To listen to the whole program, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword F-35.
This week's Experts in Health topic is Holiday Weight Maintenance, featuring Dr. Douglas Van Zoren, Service Chief of Adult Medicine with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group at Kaiser Permanente's Capitol Hill Medical Center.
The National Institutes of Health estimate that most Americans gain an average of 1 pound during the holiday season. 1 extra pound doesn't sound like much, but consider that 1 extra pound accumulates over time and can contribute to weight challenges and chronic diseases down the road. This holiday season, maintain, don't gain. Don't skip meals. Eating smaller meals throughout the day prevents overeating later. Eat before holiday parties. Water works. It helps you feel full and helps you eat less. Get physically active. Regular exercise is the best way to stay on track and not gain during the holidays. This season, let's give ourselves the gift of good health. That's a gift that keeps giving. Be happy, healthy, and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's Experts in Health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Tickets are on sale now for the third annual Caps Care Casino Night and Auction. Sponsored by Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Friday, February 10th at the Hilton Alexandria Mark Center. Enjoy a night of gaming, live music, and mingling with your favorite Caps players and coaches, with all proceeds benefiting Washington Capitals Charities. Tickets are going fast, so visit washingtoncaps.com/casinonight to purchase yours today.
The website of the week is the Google Transparency Report. Now, this site includes an interactive map, so you can click on different countries. The Chinese officials consider censorship demands to be state secrets, so we cannot disclose that information at this time. This can show traffic patterns. If a country blocks internet access, you can immediately see this. You can see if any countries are blocking internet traffic. The Google Transparency Report.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for November is Capital Caring. Are you or someone you love living with a serious illness? Do you have a parent who needs support in their older age? If so, Capital Caring may be able to help. They enable patients and loved ones to make the most of every moment they have together by offering coordinated care, comfort, and dignity. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. If you just joined us, we've been having an excellent show talking about a lot of different issues that's going on. We've talked about these employer hiring forms. I just want to put the information out one more time. Employer hiring forms that's going to be happening at the BRAC Transition Center. You can find the information at BRACArlingtonVA.us, or you can call 703-418-1130 to register for these employer hiring forms in December 1. And you have USDA. They're going to be coming in December 1 to meet people, coming back December 15th to have a little bit more one-on-ones with people who come on the December 1st session. Then we have Federal Housing Financing Agency, who's going to be coming on December 14th from 9 to 12. And they're going to, both of these agencies are looking for a large number of different people, covers a lot of different ground. Find out a lot more on the website, and you can check it out and register from there. We have Sandy Smith. She is director of the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington. And we also have Sam Phipps. He is the deputy project coordinator at the BRAC Transition Center in Arlington. Sandy, tell us where your center is and where can people find you?
Well, we're located right inside the 1750 Crystal Drive entrance to the shops at Crystal City. We're right next door to the post office and across the hallway from Morton's Restaurant. So there's a huge Morton sign out on Crystal Drive that
that's our
landmark. We're also just a couple of minute walk away from the Crystal City Metro, so that works really well as well. We're very convenient, very accessible. So we encourage interested people to stop by our center and learn about all of our services. We have ongoing services.
And what are those? I mean, tell us about some of the services that you still have for BRAC impacted people.
Sure.
But I think you've expanded that to some other clients as well.
Right. Well, you know, when we started this, we were looking at dealing with 17,000 BRAC impacted DOD civilian contract. Well, civilian DOD workers in Crystal City alone, and possibly up to three times that number DOD contract employees. So we had to come up with a service model that was going to allow just a limited number of staff that we have to serve as many people as possible. And all of our clients told us they wanted other federal jobs. So we also had to become federal employment experts. And we were able to do that through partnering with our national federal employment partners, one of whom is Derek Dortch, president of the Diversa Group, who we couldn't have done what we did without his help. So we offer regular workshops on a monthly basis, all about federal career success strategy, how to write that federal application, that federal resume, how to stay in touch with a rapidly changing federal employment application process. And so we provide that information for individuals. Some people take that and run with it. Some people need more one-on-one assistance. Right. We have certified career counselors that are available to work one-on-one. So we really, and based on the feedback we've gotten from our customers, as well as employers that we worked with, we feel really good about what we've been able to develop and provide.
Now, BRAC is supposed to be over, and you mentioned something earlier in the show that there are still people who had to move with their agencies who are still, they're not completely happy. I mean, they kind of either were forced to move, and they're still looking maybe to get back closer to home because of the impact of their agency moving either completely out of state or moving to another location that makes their commute a nightmare.
Right.
We still have that kind of situation, but we're moving out of BRAC. I mean, what's the next piece that you're concerned about? And then maybe as you're thinking about the center and the evolution of the center, what's the next kind of top issues that are keeping you up at night?
Well, the BRAC was completed in September of 2011 by virtue of the law. However, not all BRAC transition activities were completed. So we're still working with several BRAC impacted agencies that have not completely transitioned their employees to the new location. So there's a lot of unsurety with that. Some people are still not sure if they want to follow their job or not. So we work with individuals whether they follow their job or not. Some people followed their job but wanted to take advantage of promotional opportunities that were available because other colleagues weren't able to follow their job. So it's really about career advancement and career enrichment for people. And so that's our focus at the center. And we want to help any individuals that need those kind of services. So as we look into the future, one concern I have is, you know, the information we're hearing about the numbers of about to be involuntarily separated active duty service members as well as other civilian workers. And we feel that the model that we've developed will work very effectively with these populations as well. So
sure.
That's kind of what we're looking at is kind of a transition period going forward in the next year. But we definitely will be there to continue to serve BRAC impacted workers and their families, but also look at some of these other population groups that we could help with the model that we've developed.
With all of that, and you mentioned kind of the transition of the military, I mean, the right sizing of agencies. I know I was just reading and I was listening to reading a couple articles and listening to the commandant of the Marine Corps speak, you know, because, you know, me being a Marine, I was concerned about those issues, but they're right sizing to 186,000.
Right.
And that's going to be a lot of Marines, you know, that's going to be kind of cut down. The Air Force, I think, was what 9,000 civilians that are going to be separated or something like that. You're hearing more and more about that with certain agencies possibly reducing their force structure. Is that going to be more retirement, or they're going to be kind of say, listen, you know what, we got to cut some actual jobs back because we don't have enough people who are just going to retire?
Well, there's a lot of change going on now with returning warriors. I was down at Quantico yesterday talking to a group of wounded warriors about our services. And, you know, they're transitioning out of the Marine Corps and they're trying to figure out what's the marketplace like for the skills and experience I gained in the Marine Corps? How do I take that and market that to a civilian or a federal agency? So there's really, you know, we're anticipating, I guess, up to 1 million more veterans returning and looking for jobs by the end of 2015. So there's that. There's the you know, with the budget deficit and the downsizing that's got to happen because of that. We're looking at service members being involuntarily separated. And so they're going to need a lot of outplacement assistance. I know the services have transition assistance programs, but a lot of those, you know, those are big classes with one person trying to help 50 people. So we want to be there for these individuals. All of this change is going to result in more people looking for jobs. A lot of people migrate to the Washington, D.C. area because we do have the strongest job market in the country. And the federal government, as we know, will be continually hiring. So we think all of those factors really align for us going forward with this model and continuing to serve people that need us.
Talks a little like we're going to be talking about a transition from BRAC Transition Center to a federal transition center in the near future. And hopefully you guys will be around to serve the various populations for a long time to come. Thank you so much. We run out of time. I wish we had a lot more time to cover it. Make sure you get to the employer hiring forms. 703-418-1130 is where you can get more information about the employer hiring forms. Thank you, Sandy Smith, director of the BRAC Transition. Thank you, Sam. He's the Deputy Project Coordinator at the BRAC Transition Center. Thank you for being on Fed Access.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.